Welcome back to the podcast. We return to the dusty trail of our Deadlands Tales from the Shattered Coast adventures. This is part two to episode 51. The players were Jameis, Richard, Chris, and Sharon. Nothing new to report, so let's dive right in. All right, so it sounds like everybody's back.
I don't know, is Chris there?
Yeah,
you are. Yeah. All right, so we're going to just, well, unless you want to make some plans as to your attack first, we are just going to take up arriving at the Peterson Sanitarium.
Yeah, we're already arranged for having certificates and everything, and we're just sharing a series on lead, and we're just here to play backup. Yeah.
Are we going to... there was some discussion about some of us pretending to be alternative medical therapists. We're not going to go that route.
I'm the driver.
Oh, you... I threaten you. If I have to play as a doctor, so do you. Well, all right, I guess we're just people turning up. Are we friends of them, maybe? Are we people who the doctor thinks would be... good familiar roommates. Faces to the, I don't know. Yeah, good roommates.
Thank you for the doctor.
She never travels anywhere without her team of the person who tests her drink for her. I don't know. I don't know what the rest of us could be.
I'm sure Sarah can come up with something.
Look at Sarah until she tells us things.
Sarah will make bunny ears at you. You must be explicit. What is it exactly that you're asking her?
Why are we going there? You are going there because you are a doctor and can look at it. What about the rest of us? Do you have positions we could fill in doctory type capacities, or are we just hangers on for you? What is it?
Frankly, I'm complete crap at combat and you guys are my bodyguards.
What would you That's need compared eyelashes. To the sanitarium?
Sounds good to me. I can do that.
And besides, these people may be violent, and you guys know how to deal with violent well. All I can do is drug them into semi-comatose not violent. You guys can make them be not violent on a more permanent level.
And I'm the driver. I'm just thinking, I do not look like a heavy.
No, you're the driver. You can get me the hay out of Dodge.
Yeah.
You're very important.
But yeah, I sort of think you look around and go, I don't look like a heavy type. Weematai and Yong and Eddie is like, yeah, no, I'm not.
Okay, Weematai is probably the heavy of all of us.
No, I still think that's you, Eddie.
Weematai might look like the most obvious to put in the asylum, but...
Yeah, she's a walking test. Do you think she should be in the asylum or not? Answer in the form of what axe you want in your head.
Ah, lobotomy specialist. There we go. Well, we will see what Sarah cooks up for us at the asylum then, I guess. Whether they buy her bodyguard idea.
You may only want to be dressed to kill when you get there.
Throw in all the medical jargon you can. Yes.
So it sounds like we're going to show up and ad lib it from there.
The best kind of plan.
Yes.
Has any plan ever worked out for us? No, so what's the point? Not having a plan works better for us. Demonstrably, the one time we had a plan, it didn't work. So, yeah, not having a plan works better for us.
What was the one time you had a plan?
I don't remember, but it went bad.
Trying to recon Grimes' sermon. It was well planned out.
We blew up a ship. I seem to remember now. That was our plan.
Was it?
Yes. We planned to blow up the ship. The ship blew up.
That's the level of details.
Sarah's going to get the vapors and curled up in a little ball and let everyone else take care of her for a few minutes. Goodbye.
Well, we go to the asylum, it sounds like.
Yes.
All right. Very well. Peterson Sanitarium, when you arrive, you've got your wholesome-looking facility and grounds all sunny and green, with horrible screams and peals of laughter coming from inside. The building's clean and antiseptic, but something about that tile and stainless steel makes your skin crawl. The staff seems to be pretty welcoming and genuinely friendly, so you're greeted by a very smiling person. She introduces herself as Nurse Herber. So, how may we help you today? Are you coming to visit a loved one? Perhaps looking to have one join our facility?
Possibly. Right now, we are just evaluating.
Oh. You're not from the newspaper, are you? We don't permit newspaper men in here.
No. I'm not from the newspaper. I'm actually a military doctor.
Oh. Well, pleased to meet you. Are you looking to fill one of our empty positions here? Field doctor, do you have any specialty in psychology?
I do dabble a bit in psychology, but I know enough to turn that over to the professionals. My entire aim is to arrange the best of medical care for all soldiers on either side of this unfortunate war that is winding down, and people don't know what they're doing with it. But at the same time, whether or not the politicians know what they're doing, we still have people suffering, and it is my job to make sure that those people get the best of care. And right now, we would like to evaluate your facility to make sure that your facility is one of those best of care facilities that we can place people out to so that they can get the best of care.
Oh, I see. Well, if you wait in our lounge here, I'll bring tea or coffee and maybe something nice to eat. Yes? I'll need to get a hold of Dr. Peterson, and he will be the best person possible to give you a tour of our facilities and let you understand the high level of treatment that we offer each and every one of our guests.
That would be absolutely magnificent, and I will await your return. Ta-ta.
Oh, yes. And she just kind of points off to the side there to, you know, a very nice appointed lounge. If you'll wait just right there, please. But, ma'am, where are you going?
I'm not going anywhere.
Okay, I thought you were, like, dismissing her and you were just walking off. So you're not. Okay.
No. I'm dismissing her and then sitting down on the cushion.
Okay, yes. She brings out some tea and coffee and some little finger foods for everybody and says, well, Mr. Dr. Peterson is with the patient right now, but I have informed him that he has a special guest, and she smiles. Dr.
Beauchamp.
Beauchamp, yes, and your companions?
That's my retinue. They're of no import.
Has anyone gone through any trouble to make themselves presentable, by the way?
Because
otherwise, you guys are a rather a motley crew.
Nothing was ever suggested, so nope, just look like myself.
All right, so you...
I look like I just drove here.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, you got your driving goggles on.
Yeah, I'll maybe dust off my hat.
Oh, I look absolutely impeccable. The spitting image of a military officer on a visit, everything is like, I used a ruler to make sure my creases were in line.
Well, she will lead with the, oh, so are these your charges? Patients undergoing treatment?
They're actually my bodyguard and retinue. I mean, needs must.
Oh, well, yes. It is frightful out there with all the, she looks at the Indian. All of the hazards of road travel, of course.
Oh, yes. And actually, I have one last thing to ask of you. Is it possible to get a little bit of tea out here? I assume we'll be waiting for a while, and my throat is quite parched.
Of course. She'd actually brought out a tea and coffee service, so I guess she pours you some and a little jar of honey there. And she leaves you alone. She said that Dr. Peterson will be by shortly.
I'll remind Sarah that she's actually got papers to say that she can look at the two soldiers we came here to see.
Yes, I know that, and I will...
Well, it was a month ago. I don't know. Well, maybe actually, I think it was two seasons ago, so years ago.
Oh yeah. No, I'll bring that out as soon as I get any pushback. Okay. I've got papers.
Okay. So you guys are left in the lounge. There are brochures around talking about all the advanced treatments that the facility offers and how they are a complete care facility, et cetera, et cetera. In the background, you still hear, like, you know, people cackling and screaming. But it is a nice sunny lounge with nice finger food. Eventually, Peterson arrives, and he's flanked by a pair of hulking orderlies. He is on the short and skinny side with a reflector on a headband and a stethoscope hanging from his neck. It looks like he has perhaps not shaved in days. He's looking unkempt. Good day to you. Wonderful to have visitors. That is, visitors who are planning to stay. Right? Right? But seriously, I understand you've come to pay us a visit to look at our facilities and our treatment plans.
Yes. Yes, we have. I hold up a couple of fingers and move them around. Are you able to focus today? Our time is short.
Oh, yes, this is an official business. I understand that you're looking for army treatment of the disabled?
Yes, we are. Yes.
Ah, yes, we are. Delicate matter. Of course, I'm more than willing to share my treatment information and a tour of the facilities with a fellow doctor, of course. But you must understand in these, this is a personally funded endeavor here that I must, may I see your credentials, ma'am?
I pull out my credentials.
I see. Yes. Very good. It does not seem that you have a particular scope of the psychological field, however. Trauma, I see. You've worked in battlefield trauma. How does my establishment here be of interest to you?
Yes, we would like to know about your intake procedures, your procedures for determining when people are acclimated enough to be released out onto the world. We would like to know about how you treat your... Basically, we would like to know everything.
Oh, I believe that you failed to understand the particular service that we provide here. The people that we are administering to here will perhaps never rejoin society.
Oh, no, I totally understand that. However, in every instance, there's always one or two people that impress everyone enough to be allowed to rejoin society, and we'd just like to know what your criteria are.
Oh, yes. He looks a little confused. But, of course, we get the worst of the worst cases here, Dr. Beauchamp. We don't particularly see a time when, frankly, any of our patients would rejoin the normal world, as it were. We do our best to keep them comfortable here and to, of course, learn more about their maladies so that others perhaps will not come to such dire straits in the future.
True. So. Well, let's save the philosophical discussions for a later date, and shall we proceed with the tour?
Well, certainly. What is it you would particularly like to see? I'm afraid I have no sessions today. We can show you the grounds, of course. And, of course, we are practicing cutting-edge treatment here. But, unfortunately, there's very little that I can show you today.
To be blunt, we would like to see that which you would not like us to see.
Oh, the generally questioning at that.
Yes,
what exactly would that be, ma'am? I don't understand the almost accusation. Are these people? He kind of motions to the rest of your crew here.
Oh, these people, they're very, very much official. They're representatives of the government. Right,
he
people?
Points at Weematai and says, I find that very hard to believe. Go ahead and give me a persuasion roll.
Oh, okay.
Make the roll first, and then you can...
Do you want to play the Dress to Kill card?
Not yet.
I think it applies to all your rolls for the
scene.
Oh,
no, I'm not going to bother with that persuasion roll.
Okay. Well, no, I think you play it for the scene. It just applies to everything in the evidence. So.
Yeah. Oh, no, I think that's decent enough.
Okay. Well, I mean, certainly these fine fellows here look like they may have experienced battlefront conditions, of course. But our Native American friend here?
Oh, yes. Our Native American friend is part of an experimental procedure. Basically, these are the people that live here and they lived here before we got here, and we need to integrate them into society, so we need to integrate them into all things. So she is a native healer who is here to monitor our procedures so that she can incorporate them and basically get her tribes, her people, more involved and accustomed to our Western procedures.
Oh, I see.
She is a student.
Oh, yes, of course, a student. And she is, of course, capable of understanding such highly technical subjects, of course.
Yes, she is. Part of the problem with the understanding is actually was a language barrier. Now that we have come to grips with what the language barrier is and have compensated for it, our leaps and bounds are astounding.
Oh, I see. And of course, this Chinese gentleman here is similarly a student as well?
Yes, he is.
Fascinating.
If we train our students, especially in the realm of compassion and medicine, and train them to be predisposed to our needs, then when, 10 years, 20 years from now, that student will remember that training, and it will save a life of a soldier in the field.
Okay. Yes, certainly I understand. I don't quite understand your request, though. You wish to see things that we would not want to show you? Our cafeteria? Well,
I laugh with him. Yes. Here's the thing. If there is something that is going on that is untoward at your facility and that would cause an embarrassment, it is better that we know about it now so that we can take steps and all appropriate steps to remedy
that. No, Dr. Beauchamp. I assure you that all of our inmates have been properly signed over to our care. All of their loved ones and those who have checked them in and have responsibility over them have signed over all responsibility to us. So we, of course, have all reasonable ability to perform whatever medical, sometimes surgery, sometimes simply good talks, long psychological discussions to treat their particular maladies. And it is all above board. I assure you the paperwork is in perfect, impeccable condition, and we are doing nothing here that could possibly be construed as harmful to the institution.
I am absolutely sure you're not. This is just a routine visit to ensure that everything is above board. So please, delight me, entertain me, show me your facility. Prove to me that you are the miracles and the wonderment of psychological treatment that you are purported to be.
Oh, he kind of stands up straighter at that. He says, oh, I had no idea that our acclaim had gone such wide and far. Please, follow me, my friends. And he offers you his arm. The two burly guards are still there.
I take his arm.
Seem to be completely disinterested in what's going on.
I take his arm and then proceed for the tour. Okay, who all else is there with me?
I'll be there.
Everyone, I assume.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Just please bring your students. This will be marvelous.
Okay. If I can do it, I am going to give Eddie the eyeball look sign. Just keep an eye out, Eddie.
I want to take my coffee cup with me and acknowledge Sarah's sign to keep an eye out.
Okay. Well, he leads you on a tour of the facilities, introducing you to the patients that are more lucid, showing you their laboratories, showing you their medical bays and where certain procedures are performed, including things like trepanation and other... medical procedures that might be a bit skeptical, Sarah, but he assures you that they're having wonderful healing procedures done out of these. Actually, all of you make me spirit rolls. I will roll for you, Chris.
Thank you so much.
Wow.
And if someone will roll for Weematai.
Eck.
Chris, you got a 5.
Wow.
Yeah, all of you are just inured to it. I mean, you're seeing people that are being treated as basically laboratory animals. The conditions are good enough. It's not like they're living in their own, you know, vomit and excrement, but they're literally not being treated like human beings. They're all experiments. And the doctor, with rare divergence from this, doesn't even introduce patients by names, just simply by case file numbers. Every once in a while, he'll throw a name for ones that are doing better, are able to communicate. But it is. Well, I was going to say sickening, but with everybody's spirit rolls that high, you're like, meh.
Yes. Doctor, so you have no plans or no contingency plans if your patients actually recover?
Well, of course. We'll have this discussion in his office now. You're all sitting down, and he's getting coffee for everyone. His hands are just a little jittery. It looks like he's been hitting the coffee a bit hard, too. He shows you basically their admittance and release forms. They do have release forms. If, for whatever reason, those who had admitted a patient wish to retrieve them, it's possible to do. It's just the person who did the admittance must be present, or a person who has the legal right to act in that other person's stead must be present. Other than that, there is a wellness chart. If the person is able to be considered cognitively sound by their staff, and that's not exactly spelled out as what is considered to be cognitively sound, they can be released into society. But it looks like really the only exit is for whoever put them in here to sign them out of here.
I see. So there is no...
Oh, and he's freely giving you access to his records, by the way. And
okay.
It doesn't look like anyone has ever gotten out of this facility. People are brought here to be forgotten.
Okay.
Did we see the two that we were after, by the way?
Yeah, that's what I was going to check.
You do see check-in notes for them.
Did we see them on the tour?
No,
they're somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay.
I will pull out those two records and the records of two or three other people at random, and we'll ask about the whereabouts of these individuals.
Ah, Mr. Salazar and Mr. Bruce. Yes, superlative, truly superlative. They are undergoing very beneficial treatment currently. They are special cases. The personage who dropped them off was a very important man. Yes, and they were to be seen with the utmost care. Sadly, it is improbable that their mental conditions will ever level out to the point that they could rejoin society. I'm afraid that something deep inside of them has shattered. There is very little left of the man in either of these men.
who dropped them off?
Right here. And he has the record. He shows you the record that it was, what was his name, Samuel?
I think so. Yeah.
That, dropped him off. Made a sizable contribution to the sanitarium as well.
Oh, very, very interesting. And these other two?
Yes. These are undergoing very intricate procedures. You saw these two on the tour here, and he harkens you back to an hour ago when you were passing cells where one guy was standing in the corner and was just standing there, hitting his head against the wall repetitively. In a very regular amount of time. The other guy was simply laying in his bed whimpering. Yes, very, very bad cases, one and all. But as you saw, we give them the best of conditions, the best of food, light and air where it is safe to let them out. But frankly, there's very little that can be done by most of their mental conditions. They are in private hells of their own, you see. But fortunately... Well, if you can say such a thing, they will provide excellent information for the potential curing of others.
Ah, the potential for the potential for others? Is it keeping them calm? Is it making them riled up? Or is it just returning them to normal?
Oh, well, it seems that the trigger that causes the break in the psychosis seems to be unique to each person, and we were studying the effects of what put them in the state in the first place and what can possibly bring them out. We have tried electric stimulation, we have tried trepidation, we have tried various elixirs and the use of drugs to some good effect.
Ah, which drugs?
Oh, well, he goes over some pretty dense chemical structures with you. You're high enough skilled as a doctor that you're able to recognize a bit of what he's talking about, but it is pretty advanced stuff. Stuff that's not being practiced anywhere else in the world that you're aware of.
Ah. So, doctor, I have a interesting question for you.
Yes.
Yes. Would you be interested in seeing a few private patients?
Oh, we're always interested in getting new patients.
Yes. It would require a little bit of travel, but we would cover taking each of the patients so that you could evaluate.
Oh, no, I'm afraid that I have too many delicate experimentations going on here. I could never leave the facility, but certainly if you were to bring them here, we have room aplenty.
I'm not sure that we could bring them here. I'm actually just asking. It's not a very far ride.
Oh, I'm afraid that's out of the question. I simply cannot leave the sanitarium. There is no one else that can do the daily duties that I have. I can, of course, send out one of my aides to visit these potential inmates, if you wish.
That would actually be a lovely option. And so your aide would be able to evaluate my associate and possibly report back to you so that we could arrange to have him transported here.
Oh, that would that be amenable wonderful. To you? Yes, of course.
Oh, excellent. That is excellent. We should make it so.
And these would be military men suffering from various maladies, yes?
Some of them are military, some of them are not. They were heavily involved civilians.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I'm going to have you make a notice roll for me. I will roll it here for you. You got a 5, which is a success. So during this whole thing, Dr. Beauchamp is taking center stage as she's charming the head doctor here. The rest of you are kind of just taking note of your surroundings. But Eddie, you notice something that is, it's more smell, since you're tied in very much to your animal nature. Occasionally, even in your human form, you pick up things that are just not quite right. The two hulking brutes of orderlies that have stood, in the room with the doctor, seemingly disinterested in what's going on, definitely smell wrong to you. You can't place what it is, but the smell is just not right. There you go. Continue. he will. The doctor agrees to send send one of his best aides to look into your potential inmates.
Okay, great. I will whip out a document and Doctor, just for formality's sake, I would like you to sign this confidentiality agreement so you cannot talk about or...
All right, so what is this that you just whipped out?
Oh, it's a confidentiality agreement. Oh. You can't talk about anything.
Okay.
The standard one.
How did you get this document?
Oh, I wrote it up.
You wrote it up. Okay, yep. Give me a smarts roll.
Okay, awesome.
Is there a coffee service in the room?
Yes, there is.
I would like to stand up and go over to it, get some more coffee, and on the way back, go to Sarah and whisper in her ear that the two goons do not smell right. There's something wrong with them. Other than just this place being wrong. It just doesn't seem right. They don't seem right.
Huh.
Okay. He looks over the documents.
I will chip that if I need to get
it. No, that's perfectly fine. That's basically just to see if your legalese would pass muster. And yes, it seems like a perfectly reasonable form letter for this sort of thing. He looks it over and he says, well, yes, of course, I'll have to have my lawyers look over this before I sign anything, but this should be just fine and amenable. If you wouldn't mind, he rings a bell. Nurse Herber comes in. This is the one that greeted you. And he says, oh, yes, will you send Williams up? I have a document for him to look at. Of course, doctor. All right. So during that little intermission where he's talking to the nurse and calling for his legal counsel, you guys can have a small conversation there.
Sure. I'll tell him all. Tell him what I smell.
I just looking at Sherry, is this bad or better than other psychological institutions? I haven't been in any, so.
Truthfully, how clean the rooms and facilities are much better than some. But
yeah, I know this is state of the art. Yeah.
The treatment seem a little outlandish, but
what do I know? And given that this is given the year it is, this is this is what it is.
All right. In the interim, he stands up and stretches, and very shortly, a young man with round glasses perched on his nose comes in, and he says, "Oh, yes, William, I'd like you to take a look at this document, please. Dr. Beauchamp here has an interesting scenario for us. Just requires a confidentiality clause." Lawyer looks at it and says, "Oh yes, it's pretty much a formality, doctor. Nothing in here would bind you from your normal procedures. We don't talk much to the press anyway. As a matter of fact, they are strictly forbidden upon our campus." And he looks at it and says, "Yes, doctor. There seems to be nothing here untoward. You can sign if you wish." He smiles a very clipped, short smile to everyone. Says, "Yes, a pleasure to meet you all." And backs out of the room. All right. Looks like Sharon has stepped away for a moment.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. You guys can't really talk to each other with a doctor in the room. So let's just take a short break here and see if she goes back. I need to check on something with my cats anyway. So I will be right back, guys.
Okay.
Are they devouring the rest of your house? Find out.
They're probably preparing to overthrow the house or attack Bert. Like they have done so many times before.
Yeah.
So we're just supposed to get these two guys out?
Check on them was all we were told to do.
I'm back. Excuse me. I've been letting my cats roam for a few hours while I'm down here. They've been pretty good about coming back inside afterwards. Ah, shoot. I'll be right back again, sorry.
I'll take that as a no, then.
There's a what? I wasn't listening.
I wasn't saying anything.
Right.
I was responding to myself, writing things in the Fantasy Grounds thing.
Did we lose the call?
No, we didn't, but Sharon did.
Ah, okay. Does she need to be invited back in?
Apparently so. She's not responded to anything, so I assume stuff. I'll assume away.
Yep.
Hello?
You're back.
Hey, there we go.
Oh, great.
So what you missed is he had his lawyer came in who's quickly reviewed it and said, yes, it's pretty much a formality. It doesn't really apply. They don't really talk to the press or anything else anyway. So he said the doctor was free to sign it, which he has done. And
excellent. We have minions.
Yeah, so we do have a guest bungalow if you'd like to stay with us and review perhaps a medical procedure tomorrow. I'm afraid it is a bit late in the day and all of our scheduled ones are done, but I have a very interesting one scheduled for tomorrow.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, what is it?
Oh, new device, actually. You, of course, have heard of electrostimulation of parts of the brain to produce certain responses. Yes. Well, we have found a way to produce electrical stimuli that they go to certain regions of the brain, and they seem to enhance the ability there. And by doing so, it seems to crowd out a lot of the other issues that may be occurring. Now, it is not perfectly tested, and the beneficial results are small, to be sure, right now. But I have faith that in pursuing this angle, we will eventually have something very, very effective.
I would be absolutely delighted to see this. So,
well, yes. You must excuse me, though. It has been a terribly long day today. I had a very large patient load. He touches the stubble on his chin and says, "Oh, I'm sure that I look a fright as well. I was not expecting guests. So if you will allow, I will retire for the evening. Nurse Herber will show you to the bungalows."
You look absolutely delightful. You look like a hardworking man, and I appreciate your efforts. And please, please, see to yourself.
Oh, yes. Oh, please, finish your tea and coffee if you wish. Nurse Herber, when you're ready, just call out and she will lead you to a properly prepared a guest solution. Yes, thank you.
Yes, of course. I will leave myself in the capable hands of the nurse and suck tea.
Right. All right, you guys are left alone in his office.
Anybody have a love interest card?
Loving who?
All right. Well, now this is the first opportunity you guys have had where you are free of any staff.
I want to get up and walk around the room.
Yeah.
See if there's anything odd about it.
It's fairly tidy, which might be odd for a doctor who is as harried as he seems. His desk is pretty clear. The folders that he brought out of for the patients that you were looking at came from an inner drawer, which doesn't seem to have a lock on it. He has a library of medical texts here. It looks pretty normal.
No, like listening areas.
As far as you can tell, the room is probably clear. This house was converted to a sanitarium. This room was probably a sunroom at one time, meaning there are no adjoining rooms to either side. So there's not a room on either side of this room where someone could listen into. It just kind of juts out from the house. And beyond the door is a long hallway. You can listen or peek out to see if anyone is listening in on you. So as far as the listening in on that way, it seems to be clear. As far as listening devices, well, do you want to toss the room and see if you can find something?
No, that's Luke's job. Did I recognize what type of smell that could have been from the
It's disturbing. It's almost the smell of raw, rancid meat, but it didn't have the smell of decomposition. So it reminded you of the smell of long dead and rotting meat, but there was no smell of rotting. I don't know if that helps anymore.
Yeah, it's a subtle difference, but yeah, I understand that. Well, I will explain it to Sarah a little bit better. And drink some more tea.
Who was the person you're thinking of, Sarah?
Are you talking to me, or...?
Yeah, Sarah.
Oh, no, I'm just trying to glad-hand the staff. The staff must always be made to feel like they're useful and relevant.
So are we going to be sleeping in shifts when we get back to the place?
So what do you think of this place, Sarah? I don't know how many, I haven't been to that many sanitariums, so I don't know how this stacks up.
And that's very surprising, Luke.
Oh, really? Do tell.
I haven't been to any. I don't.
As I said,
I would have taken some people to some as part of, you know, during the war, probably, but other than that, you know, dropping off.
I think that once the people that run this establishment are comfortable with us, they will tell us where the agents that we're looking for are stashed and how to get there. And why they're stashed there. I think, let's face it, it's very easy to land yourself into a insane facility here. However, it's not so easy to get out unless you have people advocating for you. And we need to know why they were put there. I think the people here will be able to at least put us on the right path to find out exactly why the people that we were supposed to get out are there. I could be wrong. If anyone has a better idea or a better theory, please tell me.
Does the good doctor have any notes in the file about what's going on with those two patients?
I don't know. I haven't looked at those files yet, but are there?
You want to rifle through his desk and find those particular files? Seen the admittance records, which he's left out on the desk.
Okay. If he's not in the room, I'm going to rifle his desk.
Okay. Okay, good enough. His desk has no locks on them, so you open it up, and it is it's basically a file container. You sort through, and you find the files for Salazar and Bruce. They have an admittance sheet on it, basically what time, what date they were admitted, etc. Gives the basic psychoanalysis of the patients, that they're suffering from severe hysteria, to the point of one of them, Salazar, being almost comatose, with periods where he would just awaken and scream until he would fall unconscious again. The other one was catatonic. Eyes, you could lead him around, but he never took any, he would not respond to his surroundings. So past the admittance notes and the diagnostic notes, it seems like, that they were undergoing, it's almost cryptic. You figure that the doctor must have his own lab journal somewhere, because it just says things like, ordered the normal batch of experimentation 12-13B, results poor, things like that.
Did you say that there was a like a file room adjacent to this one?
No, there are no rooms adjacent to this one. This room used to be like a sunroom where it would jut out from the house, and there's lots of window glass so that the sun comes in and the room is, very bright. But because of how it's positioned, there are no rooms to either side of it, so no one could listen in through the walls because there's no room beyond these walls. So if someone were to listen in on you, they'd have to listen in at the door, or perhaps they may have some kind of listening device in the room, but you'd have to turn the room over to see that for sure.
And most of these are glass doors, right?
Well, there's a lot of windows in this room to let in the sun, but the door to the hallway, is just conventional wooden door.
Okay.
The place really is designed for very aesthetic appeal. Like, there's lots of glass in the house, and it's on a nice sunny slope with lots of green. So it is very idyllic. But the stainless steel surfaces that you find everywhere and the ceramic tiles and such are kind of off-putting as well. And everything smells slightly of antiseptic.
Very well. For want of something better to do, I will start cataloging the entire area as though it was a incident site.
Okay.
So I will just make a note of where everything is. And its condition.
Okay. Something that is passingly odd to you is that the room is exactly what you expect to see. He has all the right textbooks. He has, everything. His desk is made to not be locked and very orderly. Everything seems to be perfectly filed. Nothing seems to be missing other than the treatments are mentioned by, numbers versus what the actual treatment is. The books on the shelves, again, are exactly what you would expect to see. And so as you're looking around, that kind of strikes you that this is exactly what you would expect to see.
Huh. Striking me in a good way or striking me in a bad way?
Well, make of it what you will.
Right. And what is the rest of his entourage doing right now?
You want to peek out the door and find out?
Yep.
He's left you in the room by yourself. So you open the door and look out into the hallway. There's no one standing outside the door. Down the hallway, you see the nurse's desk. She notices the motion and she smiles and waves over to you. And yeah, this is further down the hall, far enough away that she could not be eavesdropping. And she just calls out, "Oh, would you be liking to see your rooms now, or are you still working on your refreshments?"
Oh, we're just evaluating right now. Didn't mean to bother you. So sorry.
She smiles again and says, "Just call out when you're ready."
Okay, I will. Thank you so much. You're very attentive. At which point I slammed the door in her face.
Well, again, she was not right outside the door. She's like down the hall in the reception area, but she has a clear line of sight to the doctor's office.
Huh.
Again, not close enough that she could have overheard anything in the room at all. I mean, she was very distant.
Hmm. Okay. So I have a good inventory of what's in the room, right?
Yes. And the thing that stands out is there is nothing here that would rouse any kind of suspicion. And that in itself is kind of odd, because someone who's doing such experimental treatments, you would think would have a wider diversity of books on more than the conventional subjects that you're seeing.
Are there any personal papers written?
None.
No personal papers?
Nope.
Medical journals, but no personal papers. Okay. All right. Are there any invitations or anything?
There's nothing personal in this room. I mean, there's not photographs of family. The paintings that you see on the wall were obviously chosen for their decorative value.
Okay.
And are not personal in any way. Like, the painting colors go with the colors of the room.
Oh, that is unfortunate. All right, okay. So, right now I don't have anything to do but catalog things in a notebook that I will keep a record of what I can personally see in the room environs.
Mm-hmm.
And then, what time of day is it?
This is getting on to late afternoon. This is why he was saying that he's tired, and if you want to be seen to your rooms, etc.
Okay. Then I will, if there's a bell, I'll ring for some tea or something. And
You have a complete tea and coffee service already in the room.
Okay, excellent. Then I'll just have some tea and basically rest and relax unless someone interrupts me.
Okay. About the rest of you guys?
Tea and coffee.
Okay. Well, after a while, the tea and coffee are finished, and you see that it is starting to get dark outside. There's a gentle knock on the door.
Open it. See who it is.
It's Nurse Herber is there, and she says, "Oh, not to rush you all, but it is starting to it is clock out time for the staff, and I was wondering if I might be able to show you to your accommodations for the evening before I need to leave for the night."
I, for one, would like to know where they are.
Oh, yes. Well, this way, please.
Are the others responding in any way?
Getting up.
They're all dulled by the coffee and tea, which has had a minor soporific put in it, and you're all drugged to death.
Okay, I will nod to make sure that he knows everything is okay, so I'll give him a little nod.
Okay. The nurse is a little chatty. She's going down. She's like, "Oh, it's very wonderful that you're coming to check our facilities. The good doctor gets very little press, and he does such good work here." And she's basically, she leads you out the front door of the facility, and around to the side, there are a number of small houses, which she's called the bungalows, set up. And she goes on to explain that, well, sometimes when patients are first admitted, their loved ones would like to, as you did, tour the facilities to make sure that they're going to get the best of care. And these are the places that we have set aside because it is such a long trek to the nearest city. And to prevent such hardship of that, we provided some facilities here. You'll find that they are very nice. The beds are upkept regularly and get a good angle of sunlight in the morning through the shades. You'll love these. There's three of them. And she says, "Well, this one here has been prepared for you. We haven't had guests in a while, so we've had a staff go through and thoroughly clean it while you were waiting. Here you go." She opens the door. You notice that there is no, the door handle has no keyhole, no key or lock. I'm afraid that if you would, he shows you in, and it's divided out to a few rooms. So you've got a small room for each of you, and there's one extra room there as well with a central area, which is kind of your lounge and solarium, where there's overhead glass into the room, brings in a lot of sun. But overall, the place is on the small side. It's cozy for as many people as you have. But it is clean. It is neat. And she says, well, if you would we do have a cafeteria service for the staffs here. She looks at her watch and says, and they'll be serving food in the next hour. I figured I would let you unpack. And if you wish to clean yourselves from your travels, wash basins, she points them all out. And it gives you the very, the 5-cent tour. There's not a lot here.
Okay, Eddie, can you check how many entrances there are to our area and make sure that we don't get ambushed?
Are you saying this with the nurse still here, or are you waiting until she leaves?
I'm waiting until she leaves.
Okay. Well, first thing, the door has no lock. On the inside of the bungalow, it looks like there was at one point where it had like a you could cross bar it while you were inside, but that has been removed, so the door doesn't lock, number one. There is no secondary entrance, but there are a lot of windows. Most of them do open.
That's not all bad. Well, I guess I'll clean up a little bit.
Okay.
Knock off some of the dust.
Mm-hmm. It seems to be that you're the only guest currently at the sanitarium, as the other huts that are out this way, there's no lights on in them. You're pretty close to the facility. It's just a few yards away. And you can still, since there's so much glass in the facility, you can still see crew that are working, moving around in there. It looks like many of them they're going, cleaning staff is moving around in there now.
How are they dressed?
All the staff is basically wearing very white smocks and like the nursing costumes of the time. But very, very clean, very crisp. Actually, as far as sanitariums go, Dr. Beauchamp, this is exceptionally, clean and neat. Most of them are pretty filthy.
Oh, so I am impressed. Very good. Very, very good. I will compliment the head doctor on his facilities.
All right, so there's very little to do in the place. It's very small, so after you clean up, if that's what you wish to do, where to next? You've been invited to dine with them in their cafeteria if you want. Otherwise, the doctor said he would just see you when you rise in the morning, if you wish to see some procedures that take place. Other than that, you're left to your own device. It doesn't seem like you're under any kind of guard. No one seems to be watching you.
I would like to dine.
It is night now, yes, and there aren't as many people here as there were previously. So perhaps we should go for a look around.
Sure. Take a walk around the grounds.
Okay. As it is after night, you do notice that the grounds are patrolled. The first one you run into is an elderly man. He's going around with a lantern, just looking around here and there. Introduces himself as Whitaker. He is the groundskeeper, and he says, "Well, there's no problem with you looking around the grounds. Just we do have patrols in case any of our inmates try to make a break for it. You, of course, don't look like our inmates, so you should be just fine."
Have you had many?
On occasion, some of the patients that the doctor has treated are very violent. I remember not too many years ago when one, he points to the rear of the facility where there's lots of glass in that particular side. And he says he threw himself right through the glass, cut himself to ribbons, but had enough in him to continue to run before they were able to catch him.
Hmm. Interesting.
That sounds very messy.
Oh, yes. He was stepping on his own entrails as if I... I'm sorry. He notices there were women in the group. I shouldn't speak of such things.
I said, she has seen more than that. More than any woman should ever see.
So, are you dropping off? Your loved ones, of course. People you care for? New admittance?
More like evaluating the facility.
Oh. Yes. That's actually a precisely great explanation.
that is a treat. The doctor very rarely allows the press in.
Oh, we're not the press.
He looks a little confused. Oh, what are we being evaluated for?
Oh, actually, we're government contractors. We're looking for long-term solutions, and your name came up, so we decided to do a visit.
Oh, well, certainly my name didn't come up. I'm just a groundskeeper, but I understand. It's good that the doctor is starting to see some wider acclaim for his abilities, yes.
Yes, yes, it is quite remarkable.
All of you guys give me notice rolls.
Okay.
Eddie, rolling yours.
Oh, no, there's nothing. Nothing at all.
Eddie gets a 4.
Oh, dear.
That's good enough.
Oh, Young is oblivious.
Hmm. Oh, and that was...
Weematai?
No, Weematai, the other 4.
Wow, I think I might possibly...
No, that's not Weematai, sorry. She's got better than that. I rolled off my own sheet again.
Mm. Yep. Nah, observant. Know. Okay. Yeah, so he looks vaguely uncomfortable when he's talking about the doctor's acclaim spreading. Those of you that rolled more than a 4. Yeah, I can see.
Oh, let me assure you. While his acclaim is spreading, his real work will be limited to the people that could appreciate it.
Oh, well, that's a relief. I mean, of course, yes, yes, just those that really need his ministrations, yes. But I really should be getting about my work. I've got a few things to put away before dinner.
I'm sorry to have kept you. You've been very useful and helpful. And let him go on his way.
Good enough. Otherwise, as you guys look around the grounds, you do, in fact, run across a couple of groups of orderlies. Not the big hulking thugs that the doctor had originally, but you know, more modest-sized, and they hail you. They're quite friendly when they run into you, but they do seem to patrol the grounds.
Do they smell normal?
They do. Are you looking for anything in particular?
I'm sort of just mentally checking off. Okay, we've been there, and those areas we haven't been to yet.
That's right. You are a crafter of sorts. I want Luke to give me... what was your notice roll, Luke? 15. It was a great notice roll. Looking around the building and thinking about the layout of the floor plan inside and what the doctor showed you around through today, you're pretty convinced that there is at least a lower level, if not a basement level, that you were not shown.
There's a basement? No.
Well, a significant one. I mean, looking at the size of the, you know, of the place and how you remember the layout was from inside. Mm-hmm. Not just like a basement in like small room with your store crap, but like another floor, yeah. Like another floor that you haven't seen.
If there's no one around, I'll point this out to the others. So, there should be, you know, holding the list, most likely with the storage and all the difficult patients.
Yep. Definitely no windows in that level. and the patrols are not, they're not omnipresent. You run into them just on occasion and they're well seen ahead of time by their bobbing lanterns that they're carrying around. So it doesn't seem like anyone's overtly trying or covertly trying to listen on, your conversations.
There's no windows. This must be where they're keeping the vampires.
How hard would it be to sneak around on the campus?
Not hard.
That's what I thought.
I mean, you're doing it now. You're not even trying to sneak.
Doing a good job of it, too.
Yeah. So, nothing?
I'm thinking about just going to the cafeteria.
Mm-hmm.
They will not have AAA there.
I'm hoping they do, but I doubt it. Yeah, that's a special medication for the patients.
AAA, approved by 3 schizophrenics out of 5.
Approved by 10 schizophrenics out of 4.
Yes, there you go. All right. So you do walk around the grounds and nothing really comes out other than the fact that you're pretty sure that there's another floor that does not have such ready access to sunlight. When you go into the cafeteria, there is a staff of maybe half a dozen here. Several are... The food is, you know, not terribly appetizing, but not bad. I mean, it's, you know, it's not gruel. It actually is cooked food, just on the bland side. the wait staff explained this, like, well, you know, there are certain dietary conditions that many of the patients have, so we can't really use spices for the most part, but it's nourishing. There's some, you know, conversation, just, you know, people do kind of wave at you and a few people, you know, greet you, but for the most part, you're left alone. Little pockets of conversation here and there. The cafeteria is sizable, but there's, as I said, only half a dozen people in here right now. It does look like that a cart is being filled with trays of food, perhaps for the inmates. And those are regularly being trucked off and returned for more food here and there.
I want to see if they would be willing to make a special meal. Like just a meal with a little bit more spice.
No, of course. As guests, not a problem. The cook actually is very friendly to us. Come on in. Tell me what you like. We've got some chilies here that I don't get to use almost ever.
Sure. I'll walk back there and just basically greet at almost anything.
Mm-hmm. Guy is very friendly. He's glad that he gets to cook for somebody that actually has a palate. He complains about the staff here being as bland, as boring as the building. He's kind of a colorful character. Pulls out a bit of meat and starts preparing it in whatever way you want there. He's a decent chef.
In a very roundabout way, I want to see if he cooks for the good doctor and the goons.
He says, well, yes, of course, we cook for everybody in the staff.
Just kind of make it seem like the doctor could use a little bit more spice in his food.
Oh, he eats very rarely. I've tried to ask him a few times if he's got a favorite childhood dish, and it's always the same. Rice and beans, a very bland man. Occasionally he'll have a bit of bacon on there, but for the most part, it's just all tasteless stuff that he wants. Now, the two aides of his, though, whew, heaping piles of food I send to them.
Really? They look like they need quite a bit.
They're big strapping boys, that's for sure.
Yeah, what do you feed strapping boys like that?
Hell, they're not picky. Usually they order the food by the pound, not by the content.
Very strange.
Yeah, that pair. He shakes his head. They don't talk much. Can't ever recall them saying more than, well... Can't even remember recalling hearing them say any words, as a matter of fact. But maybe they're just getting used to our family here, perhaps. They've not been here long.
How long have they been here?
Maybe a month, he thinks back. He goes over to a chart and looks up, he starts looking through his inventory. Yeah, about a month. My inventory's gone up since then. They go through a lot of food.
Oh, that's interesting. So how long has he been cooking, and how long has he been here?
Do you have any kind of social skills?
Pretty much no.
No, okay.
Could intimidate.
Yeah, that's about it.
But he's kind of being friendly, and let me just make a roll here off your... Okay. Well, just since you seem to enjoy cooking and giving him a rare exception to make different things, he's just kind of, you're talking about different things here and there. You got him talking about oddities, and especially the two hulking brutes. But other than that, he says, but that's not the oddest thing that happens around here.
Odd.
Oh yeah, this whole place is full of oddities.
Like what? Seems like such a nice place.
You know what I do with all the rotten food?
I've never thought about it. What would you do with all
that? He mimes the speaking low to you. He says, like, every week, collect all the rotten food in a wheelbarrow. And the caretaker comes and gets it. I have no idea what he does with it. So I followed him one day. I don't know what that crazy old coot is doing, but he takes a load of all this garbage food, rotting meat, rotting vegetables, and he dumps it down this sluice in the back of the place. I don't know what it is. Maybe they're making some kind of compost pile back there. Darndest thing I've ever seen.
Where's that sluice?
Out back. Come over here. Come over here. He has you, towards one of the windows. He says, mm-hmm. All right, you see that little piece back there where the building kind of juts out and there's only like the one window above there? Well, there's a grate right there, right under that window. Damnedest thing. That's where he takes it. Whole barrelfuls.
That is strange. You work in a very interesting place.
They pay well. Place to stay, food. Well, I guess the screaming will get to you the first week or two. But after that...
Yeah, it seems like a very nice place. You know, nice and clean. Everybody's friendly. I'll compliment him again on the food.
Mm-hmm.
How it smells so wonderful.
Yep, and so he produces a plate to your specifications. He's happy to do it.
In a hushed voice, I'll ask him if there's any liquor here that would go well with the meal.
He slides you a bottle of AAA. My own stock!
I said, oh, bless you. Bless you.
Doctor doesn't like alcohol around the place, but there's no express forbidden of it. We just can't order it with the food.
I don't see a damn thing.
Of course not. That's why a little bit gets poured in your glass.
All right. So otherwise, unless anyone else has struck you up a conversation, everything, once again, it looks like a fairly run place. The crew here seem to be pretty happy about things. Nobody seems to be really tense. Every once in a while, you'll hear screaming from the inmates. And, you know, everyone here just kind of takes it in stride. A few people laugh about it now and then. But otherwise...
I'll tell everybody about what I talked about with the cook. Basically a blah moment.
Do we go and investigate there? Do we investigate the downstairs? Or, sorry, the missing floor? Or... do we think the two are linked? Do we just wait until the morning and hope that we don't get murdered in our beds tonight? Do we go and see the people who we came here to see? Anything?
I'm willing to wait till the morning.
Why?
Just to sleep tonight. I don't feel like going down a little sluice hole, although that'd probably be worthwhile to do that. We only brought one change of clothes.
Well, we did want to see what they didn't want to show us, and what they haven't shown us is what's down there.
Yeah, well, I guess that's what we're going to do. Play around in the sewers.
Well, no.
That never ends well.
I presume there's internal access to downstairs. Let me go that way first.
Yeah, but then we have to go through the building to find it.
Hmm. Well, we've already been on a tour, so we know what doors and stuff we haven't been to.
Yeah.
And most likely in a place like this, it's going to be fairly obvious. If this is just a converted large mansion, it's going to be a pretty obvious place where they've got that sort of access.
I'm going to assume you might have an idea where it could be.
There's a few doors that you passed by during the tour that you weren't explained. They didn't really open, but they didn't look like they were detention cells, so they could have led down to another level.
Yeah, so we just want to go wander around now and try and poke at those doors?
Sure.
You're right. Up for that?
No dissenting opinions. All right. Well,
nope, it sounds like a great idea.
Okay. Wimitai, you've got your lockpick? I look at her axe. Yep. Okay.
All right. No one really says anything to you. The few of the half dozen or so that are here in the cafeteria wave you on and wish you a good night. You notice that most of the facility, there's very little light turned on, or the entrances to the cafeteria, and apparently the staff has a sleeping quarters here as well. That's well lit, but most of the corridors, especially the ones where the doors that you haven't seen behind, are not lit. So the dark corridors, not really an issue. I mean, there's enough light around. But
and it's not like Sarah and Eddie need to worry about that.
there are patrols down the inmate areas. So you are approached by one, and they said, well, folks, doctor said to give you the run up here, but do be careful. These inmates here are most of them are very dangerous. Don't get too close to the cells. Certainly don't open any of them.
Never.
Well, he looks a little... irritated that you're just not going home, but he's like, well, if you need anything, I'll be making my rounds.
All right. Thank you.
So you come to one of the doors that you weren't led to before. It's a steel door. It doesn't have the sliding pane in it, like sliding windows. So, this is not a holding cell. It is locked and padlocked. So like it's got a lock on the door, and it's got another lock over it as well.
Hmm. Eddie, can you hear anything through the door?
I'll listen to the door.
All right. Give you a notice roll.
Marks on the door?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Are there any teeth marks on the door?
No teeth marks on the steel door. No. Wow, Eddie is rolling really well tonight. 10. You actually do hear some faint sounds behind the door. It just every once in a while you hear what sounds like the high point of someone cackling or laughing.
There is something back there. Somebody's okay. Cackling or laughing.
Well, I'll try and open the lock then.
I produce my lockpicks.
Seeing as I stand aside.
I can do these sort of things. They trained me to do this at the Van Doren Agency. This is one of the reasons I'm here.
And not a part of your upbringing in a puzzle box house where you needed to...
It was the manual dexterity. If the manual dexterity showed them that I could learn this technique. Yes.
All right.
But I did not know how to do it before I was accused of stealing and was moved out of it afterwards. Let us see.
Enough of your backstory. Let us move on.
That's not a good thing.
No.
That is horrible.
Are you going to keep it?
I will spend it. I will spend a white chip as if it were a blue using my once per thing ability and add a d6 to it. Yeah. That's a 6 now. It's not brilliant, but hey.
All right. That's enough. There are a little complicated locks, but you're able to open it up just fine. You open the door, and it is a set of stairs descending down into a cave-like darkness.
I was going to say, it is going down. I do not like this.
We need a lantern or something. Anyone?
I do not have one.
I have some matches.
I go and get a lantern.
Okay.
From where? Do they just have them littering? I suppose they would do, yes.
Are they easy to get, one bird? Or is there any trouble
anywhere? Where do you go to look for one?
There'll be guard stations around, probably.
Sure. You look for a guard station? Yeah, they're glad to give you a lantern. They expect that you're going to use it to get back to your where you're sleeping for the night. So, no questions.
Yep, sure. Over. Cool. Boom. Thank you.
And let me see another guard sweep here. Okay. So you run into a guard, the same one that was a little surly to you. When I say surly, just less nice than everyone else has been, which has been awfully nice. It runs into you as you've got your lantern and you're heading back to where they are. It's like, can I help you?
No, that's fine. I'm good.
Okay.
I wouldn't want to stop you. Don't let me hold you up.
Do you have any kind of persuasion ability?
Of course not.
Give me an untrained roll.
Wow, that's pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's like, is there something I can help you find? Maybe I should accompany you.
All right, we'll chip it. We're near the end of the session anyway, so we'll try and chip it. I don't know if it's going to get any better, but, well, it's not the terribleness of one.
Right. Maybe I should accompany you. This is a dangerous place. Are you lost?
No, I know where I'm going. It's quite all right.
All right.
Do we see him coming back with a guard?
No, but you can maybe hear. You can hear the conversation taking place, I'll say.
You should probably close the door and possibly relock it.
Do you do that?
I mention it just to see what everybody else says.
And then nothing.
Close the door and lock it again.
All right. So is Luke, are you leading him back to where everyone else is, or what are you doing? He's determined to follow you unless you just tell him no, which you haven't done yet. But
yes, no, I'd say, all right, no, you can continue with your business. I'm fine. I'm sort of waiting as if I'm expecting him to move on.
Okay. I don't think it's right that you should be roaming the halls alone. As I said, it's very dangerous. Where are your companions? Have you become separated? Should we go look for them?
Oh, that's what I'm returning to right now. I'll get it there. You don't worry about it.
Okay. So, James, essentially, he's going to follow you unless you just order him not to. Right now, you're being nice about it and saying you don't need to, but he's going to unless you... do something or just tell him no, don't.
I'll let Sierra deal with him.
All right.
She's the one with all the skills.
All right, so you round the corner, you head to the door. All your friends are just standing whistling in front of the closed door, perfectly closed. Look at that. Nothing wrong with it at all. Oh, there they are.
Yeah. See? There you
go. Oh, be very careful around that one. Doctors, that's an off-limits place. Doctor said that there's some experiments running down there that are very dangerous. Something about chemicals, electricity. He shudders a little bit. I don't go anywhere where the doctor says that there's experiments going on. I remember what happened to Jimmy. Oh, poor Jimmy.
What happened to Jimmy?
We don't talk about Jimmy.
Then you shouldn't have mentioned his name. What happened to him?
You're right. I shouldn't. But yeah, really dangerous. But we should get you folks back to your place. It's getting late. Come on this way.
How can the others?
They'll follow. He wants to be nice.
Well, yeah, he's
basically can't protect us.
Yes, he's leading you back to your hut. If that's what you're gonna let him do, that's what he does.
And then when he disappears, we'll just go back.
All right. Well, I'm not going to force search rolls. Let's just say plot appropriately. You get back to the door with the lantern. Yes. It's a fairly wide stairway going down, 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 down into the cave-like darkness. I want everybody to make me guts checks.
What's the fear level of the area?
Fear level is 5 here.
Wow. So negative. No, we're at flat neutral.
Do we add grit?
You do.
Yeah.
So we're flat neutral. You said maybe it's a fear level of 5?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's that. Wow, barely. I think it's...
How have you got plus 3?
My grit's 8, apparently.
No, it's not. It's 5. There's a bug in the thing. It keeps adding it to it. You only get it once per rank. Once you get to legendary, it doesn't keep going up, but the thing keeps increasing it every 20. And you've rolled a natural 1, which is probably horrible anyway.
I don't see the problem. How's everyone else doing?
Woo!
I would see other people do first before I bother to chip it, because if other people are going to fail, then, you know, they're going to fail. But if other people are making it, I'll chip.
I'll see the rolls, and then I should roll for Chris. Yeah. Okay.
And Young should roll for Rematai.
Yeah, just getting that.
Oh, Chris fails.
Does he?
Yes. No. It didn't come through, did it? I was looking at Rematai's.
Chris fails.
Well, I didn't put the minus in there, so...
Well, it cancels out.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
Yeah.
Werewolf, I don't know whether they got anything extra. I forget.
And Sarah?
Sharon? She was still with us. You there, Sharon?
She's on the call, apparently.
Mute.
Yes, are you muted, Sharon? Step up to the microphone. Maybe not. Well, a few of you fail, so are you going to take your fail, Luke, or not?
Yeah, what's the worst that can happen?
All right.
What's happening? Anyone?
All right, so... this is what you're reacting to as you're coming down the stairs. Just the stink of decomposing flesh and decomposing bodies is just overwhelming. You come to the bottom of the stairwells, and there are line upon line of steel examination tables, and on them are bodies in various stages of dismemberment. The tables all have holes in them, where it looks like the blood and the guts and everything else are being sucked out into rubber tubes, about 30 of them, that lead into a huge steel tank at the other end of the room. The tank is connected to a console with buttons and flashing lights and dials all over it. All right, so yeah, it's just the...
Yeah, I'm going to take that.
All right, so what this is a fear roll on the chart for people that failed.
Yep. So this is a terror.
Yes.
Check. Wow. Okay, this is not good.
It's on the fright table, is it?
Yep.
Yep.
Okay. That's not too terrible.
Can be.
Yeah, what's the bonus? or does it not cause anything?
Yeah. It's a positive number to the roll.
I guess there's no penalty then. Is it slash table fright or this slash?
I'm figuring out. Yep, table fright.
Yeah, I just rolled from the table.
Yeah, adrenaline surge. That's a good one to get.
That's a great one to get. That's the only positive thing on the entire table.
All right. Go ahead.
Slash table fright.
Rolled a one. Is that going to be? Should that be make it pretty far worse?
I don't think so. Let me check something real quick.
Right. Okay. How are you rolling this, James? How did you manage that?
I rolled it from the table directly.
Oh, okay. So not.
Yeah, I split up the tables and then put up fright so I can see where it was, and then just click on the dice. So we haven't actually confirmed if Eddie is.
Oh, I'm sorry. No. Okay. Here. No. 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 I'm sorry.
Okay.
So this is fear nausea, which means that if you fail it, you're simply shaken and must make a vigor roll or suffer severe nausea or a mental shock that causes a level of fatigue for the remainder of the encounter.
Jameis still rolls on the table.
Yes, Jameis does. A natural one.
Yep. Okay.
Well, that's what I got. So you got your adrenaline roll. Everyone else that failed need to make a vigor roll. Or suffer nausea, mental shock that is equivalent to a level of fatigue. So, Chris, I'll roll for yours. Okay, you fail the roll. So, do you want to chip it, or do you want to just have a level of fatigue?
I'll just take a level of fatigue.
Okay, there we go. And how did everyone else turn out?
Oh, young man.
Wimitai failed her guts roll, but then passed her vigor roll. So.
Okay.
We have no idea what Sarah's doing. Sarah apparently fainted.
That's fine. We'll go ahead and end it there for the night during the encounter. We'll leave the cards as they are since we're going to end in the middle of action. And so these effects will take place when we carry over the next.
Yeah.
As you find out what's been brewing in the basement.
I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to fight at the moment. So
us. You're the one with a lantern as well. We're going to be...
Yeah.
Lose and you'll life. Love
the fear of darkness underground.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, you do. Not a good thing to have.
All right.
All right. So we'll do...
One, two.
We'll do... let me think about this for a minute. We'll just do one experience point for this.
Yeah, can't blame me for that.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay.
All right. Yep. And hopefully nothing has happened to Sharon. She might have fallen asleep on us.
Unfortunately, she did say she was on call. So.
Yeah, that's true. Very true.
Yeah, but she's just going to drop from the call if that happened.
Maybe she didn't have time to even press the button.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. Well,
good
to get back in the saddle, I guess. How's everything looking for 2 weeks?
Good night, everybody. We'll
see you
next time.
Hey, good night.
So the next game day would be the 3rd. How's that looking to people?
Far as I know. And for that, me. For me, will be after daylight saving, so I'm an hour later. Not that you guys will notice. I just have to remember to turn up an hour later. I have a whole extra hour I can do things in.
That's a very bad date for me.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm going to be in D.C. on a anniversary.
Oh, well, yeah, you can't miss that. Yeah. The 26th next week is not good for me because I've got a church thing that's going to be happening right during the time when we normally have our game. So, I don't know. I guess we'll see. So, if I can get everyone else except for Chris to do the 3rd, unfortunately, we're going to do the 3rd, Chris.
That's fine.
Yep.
It's understandable. Yeah.
So, if all the players can make it, but Bert can't, does the rule of majority of people can turn up still apply?
You're welcome to, but I suppose you'll have to tell me how the session goes.
We killed Grimes without even trying. Yep.
Yeah.
He fell down a well.
You killed Grime, and you've now taken his place. You are actually now the horseman of the apocalypse. You've thrown in with him, and
that's not impossible given those PCs.
Fun.
Well, right. I've already got death as Sharon, so
that's true.
Well, I'm telling you, it's the turnover.
Eddie would be a good famine. So
the turnover of the people again. We've lost another PC. Yes.
Yeah. Yep. This signing up for the Van Dorn Association is apparently not without risk.
They don't even tell you about it.
Yep.
Sign up for
not in the brochures. Nope. All right, guys. Well, it was fun. Slow moving, but fun.
Yeah.
Back to it. Yeah, keep an eye on the boards. Like I said, if we can get most of us that are able to do it on the 3rd, we'll do it then. If not, we'll figure out the next date.
Okay.
Don't see you, Chris. Have a good anniversary.
Thank you.
Yes, enjoy yourself. Hopefully nobody comes down with anything between now and then or collapses again.
Yeah, don't jinx me. Maybe they'll actually have paddles this time around. Who knows? All right. Night, guys.
Music in this podcast was created by Kevin MacLeod. More great music can be found at his website at thecommontech.com. If you enjoy the show, we would love to hear from you. You can find links to our public forums, the software that we use, and other information at our homepage at bluemagic.com. That's BLUMAGIK. Reviews on iTunes, recommends at rpgpodcasts.com, and email to steamsteelmurder@gmail.com are also appreciated. Thank you for listening.